Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
All right, final hour of the show is underway. In the Box on TSN 1200, it is Chris Stevenson, Steve Lloyd, and Matt Conesvita producing back at 87 George Street in a quiet Canadian Tire Center. Practice is in the rear view mirror. Team is off to the airport, going to fly to Jersey today, take on the Devils tomorrow night on TSN 1200. Doesn't sound like Jacob Chychrun will be a part of things. DJ Smith called him doubtful, did not practice today. Quote, he tugged something during the game last night. Sounds like a soft tissue injury of some sort. That's a little oof. Like, it's like any sport, right? Whenever you see somebody running in the open field in football and they just fall down and they you know, like, ooh. Like anything non-contact,
yeah.
Anyways, hopefully it's not too serious, but doesn't sound like he's going to play. Tyler Cleven skated today, but he won't play tomorrow, sometime in the future.
And that's become way more of a thing lately, hasn't it? Like that non-contact, just kind of like open ice, open field, devastating knee injury. It just feels like, or in, I think of Max Pacioretty too, with, of course he had the history with the Achilles, but winds up, you know, on what looks like an innocent play, hurting himself again. But that seems to have become more of a thing, is that non-contact, just own body weight kind of blowing out a joint or causing a really serious injury.
All right, let's ease into the final hour of the show here. And getting back to a discussion earlier, because from time to time, you've weighed in on this, and you've been in touch with some people and had a little bit of insight with one group, at least, right, with the process, because information is tight for a reason. Like, nobody wants to get themselves expelled from the process.
Yes, piss anybody off. By anybody, we mean Gary Bettman.
We mean one guy, yeah, Gary Bettman, who will be in town coming up on Monday here. Let me ask you this, CJ. I don't know, because you got to be careful about what you say. Generally speaking, through the reporting of Ian Mendez and through the reporting of Bruce Garriock, mm-hmm. it seems that we're down to, there's six groups that we know about. Do you think that's it? Do you think it's six? Or do you think it is more? Sportico originally reported nine.
Yeah.
Put in bids. But is it six? Because Gary Bettman, in his Gary Bettman way, when he was asked about it at the GM's meetings at the end, he likes to let people know that I know more than you. Well,
yeah,
I hope,
of course.
I hope that's the case. You should.
Yeah.
And that the reporting has been speculative, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So what was out there at the time, he wanted to let everybody else know that maybe it's not all true, what's out there.
Right. I cannot confirm the six number. It's interesting that number is out there, because I think there's a paucity of information even among the bidding groups, and that's the way Gary Bettman wants it to be. I don't think he wants the bidding groups to know mm-hmm. exactly what the level of competition is out there, as we've been saying in a bunch of different discussions about negotiations.
Doesn't this feel like pre-NHLPA? Pre-Ted Lindsay, follow me on this one, okay?
Yeah.
Now, Gordy, we're going to give you a raise, but don't you go telling people how much we're paying you. Yeah. And Gordy Howe found out he wasn't even nearly the highest paid guy in his team.
Yeah.
Is that a little bit going on with the NHL with Gary Bettman? He wants to keep as many people in the dark as possible, including the people bidding on the process.
In the dark and on the hook and paranoid.
Yes.
That, you know, are we offering enough? And that's why, you know, I get some texts from people saying, so what are you hearing? You know, what's out there? What's so-and-so doing?
Give it to me straight. What's the word of the street?
Exactly. What's so-and-so doing? I can't confirm the sixth number. I do know that there's negotiations going on, at least on a cursory, superficial level between different groups, trying to through the back channels, you know, maybe having discussions. Just what we're saying. What do you hear? You know, everybody's trying to get the intel so that they can make a competitive bid And in like any of these situations, a competitive bid, but you don't want to pay more than you have to get the franchise. So that's the challenge that's facing the groups right now, is like, where is that sweet spot? And as I said earlier, before we got into practice getting going, and that became the priority, as it should, that I don't have any doubt that the number that's going to be announced is going to be $1 billion. Now, there's different ways you can do that. We've seen this happen in the past, because I've been asking around. And I think one of the things that happened, for instance, when like Carolina got sold, the Hurricanes franchise, the ways that the NHL can kind of inflate the franchise value.
Oh, they've done that a few times.
Is they'll add, say, you know, the potential broadcasting revenue. Well, you're going to have this money coming to you, so that's kind of like added into the equation. So maybe we can bump it up by 50 or 60 million, because that's Gary Bettman's job, is to make sure that the last franchise that gets sold goes for the biggest price in its snack bracket. So you can't compare selling Carolina to potentially selling now the Montreal Canadiens or the Leafs or the Rangers or any of the highest priced franchises, Detroit Red Wings. You know, the way I think about it is usually that the teams are pretty much in groups of five. Six basically groups of five or six of teams that are all kind of in the same snack bracket. So wherever a team fits in that big scheme of things, Gary Bettman wants to make sure that when a team in that bracket gets sold, that it's going for the highest price that a team in that bracket's ever gone for. That's his job. In a nutshell, that's Gary Bettman's job. Mm-hmm. Add franchise value for the owners, and make sure whatever envelope you're in, whatever silo, bucket, whatever you want to call it, that your franchise is in within the league, that the last team to be sold in that group is getting a record price. So, you know, the Senators in that bunch that most of us think of is in that, what, 650, 700 million. Now, if the Senators go for $1 billion, a lot of people are going to be saying, well, yeah, but that's like developing LeBreton Flats and all that. No. That, what's going to be remembered? The Ottawa Senators sold for $1 billion. Mm-hmm. Nobody's asking how many empty net goals Ovechkin got when he gets 50 goals for whatever number of seasons, and nobody remembers that. What they remembered is Ovechkin had another 50 goal season, or he's going to have 900 goals or whatever. Not how he got there. So when the Senators go for $1 billion, that's what people are going to be remembering. And there's going to be a lot of people be like, holy, the Senators
holy
sold
smokes,
for $1 billion.
As Tyler Cleven would say.
Holy smokes.
Holy smokes, it's Claude Giroux.
Yes. So there could be a couple of different ways that they wind up arriving at that number, but I will be really surprised if they don't announce that it's $1 billion. And whether that's a couple of the rumored six groups getting together remains to be seen.
If people miss the interview, we should just, good point, good place to direct people to our website at tsn1200.ca, where you can do many things, including catch up on interviews you missed. The mayor was on yesterday morning with JR and Simmer with Mark Sutcliffe. Excellent stuff. And you and I touched on this earlier, and I saw the same thing you did. Unfortunately, and Mark's a politician, but everything gets politicized, right?
Of course.
If you didn't vote for him, then you're gonna be picked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he kind of left all the options open. Well, he's politicking. That's what happens here. Why would
and
you,
negotiating?
Why and you're negotiating? Everything you say is on something as sensitive as this.
Yeah,
matters. And
yeah,
how you say it, and what you say, and what you don't say.
Yeah,
as well. So I really don't have any issue with it, with any of that. I think he was about as transparent as you would expect and what you would hope to be during that interview. It's good stuff. I encourage people to check it out. It's on our website at tsn1200.ca. To the point though, of he said it's not the only option. LeBreton mentioned a few other locations, and I believe them. I do. Like we've heard about these locations before, and the point is, CJ, because when you think about the current price being inflated because of the real estate play, and it's at LeBreton, yes, but this is interesting. If people forget, this is not the same incarnation as Melnick Ruddy. It's a much smaller. It's basically the rink right now. So by saying that, well, it's not the only other, if you've got all these other companies on the hook trying to buy the team, if they could find another piece of land where they could get more money out of it, and it's not exactly there, then that's leverage to go back to the NCC. Hey, if you open up a little bit more of the parcel to the way it was in the previous deal that fell through, right, everything's... So that's why it can't be a real estate play because it's not the same footprint at the NCC right now for this current bidding process like it was before. And my answer to that is yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is what's driving the price as well. That is a huge part of it. And this is why the mayor was a little cryptic and saying, well, we could talk about Bayview Station. And, you know, we've heard about Herdman and we've heard about... Make no mistake, this is all about leveraging the NCC and trying to get as much out of that. That makes the most sense, 100%. That's plan A. Doesn't mean that's where it's going to be, but that's where it should be. That's where it probably will be. But there's a negotiation to get there.
Right. And, oh, all those other sites that you just mentioned, that's City of Ottawa land. Is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a benefit to the City of Ottawa having a rink and a development project built on City of Ottawa land rather than NCC land.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
there's a bunch of different things going on here. As you would expect, everybody looking out for themselves. What could be in this for me? By the time we talk about the purchase of the team and a new rink and that kind of, we're talking about a $2 billion transaction, a $2 billion project here.
Let me see. Got that in my,
so,
in my jeans here.
So when you start talking about something like that, it does not surprise me at all that everybody's kind of like, how can I get a piece of this? Why not have a $1 billion project built on a piece of land that's owned by the City of Ottawa rather than the NCC? So there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah. Yeah, who's to say?
That was the first thing I thought
that's
was
a great point.
Okay, he's suggesting maybe some plots of land, which I think are controlled by the City of Ottawa. I'm not absolutely sure.
Well, okay, whatever.
But definitely not the NCC.
But let's say you get a City of Ottawa controlled land, whatever that is. Your theory is sound. It would make sense to kind of maybe explore that from the city perspective and put it on the table. Hey, listen, we can offer you, prospective senator's buyer, more land to get more value out of what you're buying.
Yeah.
And do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And you know what? We'll be able to tax that.
Yep.
It'd be good for us as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is all layered, right?
Yep. So we'll see. And like that was, no matter how you feel about it, about how you feel about Mark Sutcliffe, he was doing his job. He was doing his job when he was on there, and I thought he did his job pretty well. So we'll see where it goes from there.
Okay.
But if you, again, the tea leaves, right? Oh, the mayor of Ottawa is suggesting that some of the options could be land owned by the City of Ottawa. What a surprise. So we'll see what happens. I think it's in everybody's, at this point, everybody's best interest to have it at LeBreton Flats. And Lee and I had this discussion. yesterday to a certain extent about, you know, this whole air quotes revitalizing downtown. Can anybody tell me what downtown is going to be 10 years from now in a government city where most of the employees who are downtown are employees of the federal government who are currently involved in a negotiation that sounds like is going to be a very heated negotiation about the future of where federal employees work? The federal employees don't want to be downtown. They want to work at home. So what is downtown?
And not necessarily working within striking distance of the city of Ottawa, for that matter.
Right.
Even more so. And there are federal jobs across the country. But
so I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the idea of wanting to have it centrally located. And I think that was one of the flaws to start with. And Lee and I discussed this a little bit yesterday on the drive. But, you know, it's... In the early days, covering the location of the Palladium, the building of the Palladium, all of us had to spend hours and hours of our lives that we'll never get back sitting in the Ottawa development meetings while they tried to figure out if they'd even be allowed to build a building. But one of the things that kept coming up was a flaw in the plan was that it was going to be at one end of the city or the other, because all of the people are going in one direction to get to the rink. All the people, most are going in the same direction when they leave the rink. A centrally located rink is the best, where hopefully you're dividing the traffic patterns 50-50. And as many people are going east are going west.
And
LeBreton, or in other circumstances, maybe it's north and south.
And LeBreton makes sense because this team's 30 years in. And let's be honest, they have not made the inroads they had hoped to the other side of the river.
Yes.
Never really have.
That's true. That's very true.
And that's an untapped part as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, right now with the LRT and having two stations to service that piece of land. Now, there's a lot of other things associated with that which are going to have to be overcome. The land's toxic. It's going to have to be cleaned up. When we talk about negotiations, there's going to be a massive negotiation over who foots the bill.
Yep.
For the LeBreton site being cleaned up, that's going to be a big talking.
I'm not
going to
say that's a minor thing, CJ, because it's a big deal. We're talking. It's not cheap.
No,
I mean the Mint used to dump their sludge there, making coins.
And like I said, with this being
a lot of stuff there,
and it being a $2 billion project, it's not a massive percentage of that project, but like I said, everything's going to be in negotiation. And it's like, if I'm buying a car from somebody, well, you're going to pay for it to have it safety. I want something I'm buying something that's safe here. Mm. And if I'm going to have to pay for the brake job, we're going to have to negotiate that too. So this is another, to me, is going to be an interesting point. Something that's not talked a lot, but back when Rendezvous LeBreton or whatever it was called was getting started, somebody said to me one day, you should reach out to somebody from the First Nations and see what their price tag's going to be for them to be able to build a building like that on unceded land. And that's not something I've heard brought up frequently, but I think that's going to be another interesting negotiating point that's going to have to be resolved. So there's a lot going on. These are all things that are being discussed by the groups as they move towards what exactly do we pay for this and what exactly are we getting? And all these other things that are going to cost this money, if they're passed on to us, we want those deducted from the price that we're paying. So there's a lot of different things going on, and there's going to be a lot of different negotiations that are going to have to take place before they arrive at what I think the number is going to be $1 billion. It's for publicity purposes, for public consumption, whatever, for just the way it looks that we sold the Ottawa Senators for for $1 billion. How you get there, I think there might be some creativity in terms of arriving at that number, but there's a lot of different things that are going to have to be negotiated. More to do with the rink development aspect of it, rather than just deciding what are the Ottawa Senators worth as a franchise, because you have linked them to LeBreton and to building a new rink and to the commitment to keeping them here in Ottawa. There's a whole bunch more moving pieces.
All right, a couple texts came in here on this. And this speaks to one of the sites that's been thrown out a few times over the last number of years. Do you think the baseball stadium site would be feasible? It comes from Jan. Now, when you talk about that site, we're talking about the currently somewhat being phased out RCMP site, which is right there, because they've got the new-ish facility at Prince of Wales and Merivale and Barrhaven, right?
Right, yeah.
That's what we're talking about there. I've mentioned that because you do have a stop relatively close there,
yes,
on the LRT, and you've got great, quick Queensway access,
yep,
which makes that's what makes that area somewhat attractive, and you're really not far from the train station, for that matter,
yeah,
as well. Thoughts on that, and then I got another one for you.
Yeah, like, so to me, and I'll agree with Mark Sutcliffe on this one when he made the point about, well, it's not exactly a casual stroll from Elgin Street to LeBreton Flats.
In the winter.
Especially in the winter. Now, you can just hop on the LRT and go a stop or two. And,
yes.
And
that's the real
and
point.
Be in the downtown. So, to me, when you're talking about LeBreton, you're looking at a project to me that's going to be like Lansdowne would, where you're going to build around it and create another whatever LeBreton Live, for lack of a better description, like you have Lansdowne Live and like we've seen in a bunch of different sports facilities in the States. I think specifically, well, they're, you know, Philadelphia, where all their stadia are basically around a parking lot at the bottom of Broad Street, and they've built an entire entertainment district around those stadia. Same thing in when I used to go to Glendale. They built an entire entertainment complex with all kinds of different themed bars and hotels and everything else around the both the rink and the stadium where they have the Super Bowl, in that whole area. Now, I do think LeBreton is far enough away from, I'll use air quotes, downtown, that you would have to create one of these, like an entertainment district around it. And I think that's why there's more of a discussion now when we talk about the 7-acre footprint right now that's available. That's not enough for these guys to make it work. They need more space, more land to build on, because they are going to have to create their own kind of entertainment district around the new rink, like we've seen down at Lansdowne. It's not like you're building the rink right downtown between Metcalf and Elgin, or just off of Bank Street, north of the Queensway. You're not building it right downtown. So I think that's why the push is on for this additional bigger footprint, because they are going to have to do like what was done at Lansdowne, and why wouldn't they? They would want everybody coming to a game to hang around and spend their money in more of their properties to increase their revenue and justify a $2 billion price tag when all is said and done. And I feel the same way about, you talk about the ballpark or the old RCMP area, same thing. You're going to have to build an entertainment district around that, because you want people to arrive early and stay late. And the easiest way to do that is for people just to have to go one place to go to and not have to worry about taking an Uber to the game and then figuring out how we're going from the game to wherever we're going to have beers afterwards. Perfect scenario is one trip there, go and watch the game and then have half a dozen options when you stumble out the door to be able to go and
either
have dinner before or whatever. And like the model that they've got at Lansdowne now. One stop shopping, right?
Yeah, when you do it that way, it can happen quickly. But if you let it, like here, where we are right now is a great example.
Didn't do it.
When you and I were first starting to come to this rink years ago.
Yeah.
When they first moved here.
Yep.
We went to Marshy's.
Yep.
For a beer after. That was it.
Yep.
Unless you wanted to. Centrum wasn't even that built up. There was only a place or two in Centrum at that time. There wasn't that much. There was a couple spots, but that was it.
Yeah.
Now there's a lot more around here now. But took a while.
Yeah.
If you do that one stop thing, it's like bang, we're ready to go here.
Right.
You get it. You get it all.
And that's been, you know, that's been a model for a lot of franchises when they've built a new stadium, a new rink. Is let's have a captive audience. Let's have them when they arrive here. All of the money that they're going to spend today is going into our pocket.
All right.
So if you're going to do LeBreton or if you're going to do RCMP headquarters, to me, there's not much difference. LeBreton's got the advantage of the two stops. But to your point, RCMP's got Queensway right there and the LRT.
And a train station going not by. Far away for that matter.
But again, that would be another instance where you would have to kind of build up a little bit of an entertainment district. I think no matter where they decide to go, the two are inextricably linked. There's going to be an entertainment district built with the rink.
Just we go to break here. Pasquale, I saw it yesterday, Pasquale. I dressed it. I'll dress it again. He's a Civic Hospital. There's two problems with that. For me, the positives is relatively close to the main thoroughfare in our city, which is the Queensway.
Yeah.
Just a walk up the hill from Dow's Lake where there is an LRT stop. Okay. There's some pros. Cons would be the new Civic Hospital to be built down towards Dow's Lake is scheduled to maybe be open for 2028. Maybe. Yeah. So the current Civic Hospital has to be open until then. So then you tear that down.
Right.
We're getting into the 2030s probably before you could put a rink there.
Yeah, good point.
Number two, the Heart Institute just completed recently a massive expansion. The Heart Institute is not moving.
Right.
And it's still going to be on that site as well. So I understand. Talk about it, doesn't make sense.
To your point, I have to think that whoever winds up owning this team is going to want to start generating that revenue as quick as they can, right, to justify the investment.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back to it. I want to give away some tickets here, and it's Friday. I'm going to make it really easy today. I'm usually quite easy, but I'm going to make it really easy. On a Friday afternoon, we got another four-pack of tickets to give away. It's for the Hurricanes game coming up. It's the last home game of the season. Hurricanes in town on April 10th. Here's a four-pack of tickets. It's this simple, okay? I'm doing Hurricanes trivia all week. The Carolina Hurricanes, who recently officially just made the playoffs again and picked up their second straight 100-point season. If you recall, coming out of the lockout, the Carolina Hurricanes won the Stanley Cup. It says, give me the name of the captain. Who was the captain of the Hurricanes when they won the Stanley Cup? Come on. Come on. It's not that difficult. 12-1200 standard text message rates apply. You have until 1:37. I've stolen that. I like the way JR's done that. We used to say, all right, we'll give it a few minutes. I like the timestamp on it. 1:37 gives everybody a chance. Maddie's going to sift through the correct answers, and he's going to contact the winner. There you go. As we kind of got into the ownership conversation with the Sens, and that does lead us to the nuts and bolts of where we're at. Well, where we're at is the groups are filtering through town as we speak, getting a closer look again.
Some have been here already.
Exactly. And you made the point, and many have been here before. I mean...
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds was visibly here. We saw him at the rink in November. Nico Sparks was here in November. Go to his LinkedIn page. It's him standing at the bench.
Yeah.
His picture for his avatar. And that's back in the fall as well. Like this,
but it is ramping up.
Now. It is ramping up. Yeah. It is to the point where Gary Bettman's doing his annual pit stop, and he's timed it in Ottawa for a reason.
Perfect. Yep.
Right. So he's going to be here Monday. Bill Daly's coming in. They're going to meet with various members of the Sens organization, including the CFO Aaron Crow, including Anthony LeBlanc, including Pierre Dorion. Right. Going to go through the whole thing, and that's going to be Monday. And then, to your point, we're probably not going to get the official rubber stamp. This team is sold for a few months, but probably, what do we got today, CJ? It is the 24th of March. Probably by the end of April,
yeah,
at the latest.
I was going to say,
we're going to get an announcement. This is the preferred group, and this is what we're going with.
And that's who we're negotiating with. Yes, like our preferred candidate type thing, and they'll start hammering out the just all those things that I was just talking about. They're gonna start trying to get a handle on exactly what they're responsible for and what somebody else is going to pay for and everything else. But yes, I would think what was the expression they used during the LeBreton thing? It was like the preferred proponent or something like that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
This is the
preferred proponent.
Yes, this is who we're going to negotiate with now.
Yes.
So we'll look forward to that. What an exciting time to be a hockey fan in Ottawa.
A lot more exciting than going to Rod Brydon news conferences weekly, wondering if the team's leaving.
Rod.
That was fun.
Chris Stevenson, Ottawa Sun.
Oh, my.
Who owns the Senators?
Rod, Steve Lloyd, OSR 1200.
OSR.
Who's, what's going on?
Yeah.
Hey, and you can poke. Rod, again, what did you pay for the interchange here?
Oh, yeah.
When you paid for the only privately funded interchange
and he was
in the province. What'd you pay for that, Rod? What did the province make you pay for that?
And he would put up with our BS too. Like he was, you know, we're here. And Rod was existing and talking at a level that was, you know, I'm holding my arm up as far as I can over my head right now.
Yeah.
And Rod was on that level. And
he was good. He handled it well. Good. Like when you think about it.
Hey. he kept this thing afloat until he couldn't for a bunch of years with just about nothing to work with. So yes, those were interesting times. Thanks to the likes of, you know, Bruce Firestone, Randy Sexton, Cyril Leader for getting the team here to start with. Rod Brydon for keeping it on the respirator for all those years. Eugene Melnyk for coming in and saving the team from bankruptcy. And now
a transaction of this team, sorry, CJ, hasn't been this positive since they won the expansion bid. Not even close.
Yeah.
It's win the expansion bid process, euphoria, and what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Everything else, it's been,
and in,
what's
in,
happening?
In
Where's
conjunction,
this going?
In conjunction with last night seeing a really dynamic, exciting young team play. That was exciting hockey. So you can talk about, and you know, what I hope to watch with the Senators. There's different ways to win in hockey. We've seen them over the last 20, 25 years. But the Senators look like, with the group that they have, can play some really entertaining, up-tempo, exciting, creative hockey. If they can figure out the defense part and how to be a little bit tougher to play against, not allow other teams easy looks and gift goals, manage the puck better. Like, the potential is here for this to be a really exciting team to watch. Tim Stützle is going to be in the conversation for, right now we would probably qualify it by his age, but I think he's going to be in the discussion when you start talking about the top five or six centers in the game. When he's 25 or 26 years old, he's going to be right there in that discussion. Jake Sanderson is going to be a shoo-in to be on the blue line for Team USA whenever Team USA plays again in a best-on-best tournament, if we ever see that again.
What did you think of Connor McDavid's comments on that?
Yeah.
After it was a World Baseball Classic. Hey, Oshoe and Mike Trout. And McDavid was rather blunt. Players want this.
Can't blame them. Who doesn't want to play for their country, especially if you're Canadian? What greater honor is there for a hockey player from Canada to be able to wear the maple leaf and in playing a World Cup of hockey or an Olympics? Forget the World Cup with the friggin' North American team and Europe and like
and the legit World Championships from the Stanley Cup playoffs are going on. It's these guys want a true best
Olympics,
on best.
Like, you know, I think right now the World Cup is a bit contrived too. The Olympics, because the Olympics comes in the middle of the season. The World Cup, August, it's kind of like weird, honestly.
Well, the only reason the Canada Cup started and became a World Cup was because you didn't go to the Olympics. It was the only way to do it, to create a best-on-best scenario, because that's the only way it was going to happen. Yep. Ever since you opened up the door to the Olympics in 98, that's the thing.
Yeah. So you're going to have, you know, Tkachuk and Sanderson, who are going to be mainstays of Team USA, among the best players in the game, never mind just at their positions. New ownership, the prospect of a new building, and a brilliant young team on the ice. I agree with you. Apart from, you know, those wonderful days when almost out of the blue and unexpected that Ottawa was awarded an NHL franchise, this has got the potential to be like the best times to be a Senators fan. Because even all of those years, when you think about them first making the playoffs in 97, everything was run on a shoestring. And it was always like, there was always those hints, the Senators here for good. Remember all those years, like the Calgary, Edmonton?
It felt tenuous. They couldn't find anybody to buy Montreal.
George Gillette
saved the Habs.
What's the future of the NHL in Canada? And Rod Brydon in those years. Just give me a 72-cent dollar. Remember, it was 63 cents.
Oh. Yep.
Just give me a 72-cent dollar. And it was always kind of like you could enjoy the ascent of the Senators and embarking on that decade where they made the playoffs every year. But in the background, there was always that, are they here for good?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's gone. That's gone now. And you got a brilliant young team, potential. A team of potential on the ice. Are there things they need to fix? Yeah. Is this the coach for the team? Maybe.
No, you're at the point now.
But there's
CJ.
So much potential to what this team can do. And now you can be, as a Senators fan, free to unconditionally embrace it because they're not going anywhere.
It's to the point now where, and it's not us pumping the tires or blowing sunshine and fluffing it up at all. I mean, there's enough interest in multiple heavy-hitting groups that want to buy this team that will pay around $1 billion for it it to play in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Not to put it on wheels. And as much as these groups, and to various degrees, it'll be more about real estate with some, but it's passionate about hockey.
Yeah.
There's a lot of passion about hockey.
The Andlauer group, for sure. I mean,
on this side of it.
Everything Andlauer's done has been about passion in hockey.
But make no mistake, even Andlauer, it's got to be a good business deal, or you're not doing that.
Of course.
So it's become a good business deal to pay $1 billion for the Ottawa Senators and have them play in Ottawa.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. 20 years ago, you would have laughed.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And with that, when you're talking about those kind of numbers, that they're going to be a cap team again.
Oh, that's a given.
They're going to be a cap. They'll be a cap team again.
Just like the early days of Melnick.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right.
So all good.
We got to go take a break. Maddie has selected her winner. It's Caden Kivy. Caden, congratulations. Rod the Bod. Rod Brindamore, the current head coach, was the captain of the Carolina Hurricanes when they won the Stanley Cup in 2006. Caden knew that. Congratulations. 4-pack of tickets to come see the Hurricanes and the Sens are yours. April 10th, get your tickets at Ticketmaster.ca. It's the last home game of the season. They have one game after that in Buffalo, but that's the final time here at Canadian Tire Center. We'll take a break and have our final segment of the week next on In the Box on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
All right, 150. Pretty much out of show here. If you're just tuning in and you're like, didn't they? Yeah, Maddie's played once an hour. He's played a song from Naveed, and here's the title track. Is today the anniversary, or was it 2 days ago?
It was 2 days ago.
Yeah, it was 2 days ago, the 29th anniversary of the release of this, and I just made comment. It was one of my favorite bands of the day. We follow each other on Twitter. I interact with Jeremy Taggart the odd time. Did that the other day, the former drummer of OLP.
Love Tags.
Got his own pod these days. Anyways.
Co-wrote a book.
Funny follow. Some of the stuff that he'll present from time to time on his Twitter feed. Anyways, Maddie loves that album as well. So hey, Maddie's a producer. It's his choice. He said, you know what? I'm playing some stuff from Naveed today because I can. So that's what's been going on here on the show.
And we had one listener who wasn't very pleased. He was asking when Kenny's back. I saw you. I might have seen that you texted the correct answer and...
You know
what?
Oh, careful.
Taking shots at me? I think it was Ryan.
Oh, no.
I saw you, Ryan. I saw you.
Okay.
Kenny's back next week, I think. I haven't looked at his schedule, but I'm pretty sure Kenny's back next week. And so you, Ryan, you'll like Kenny's music a little bit more. But I saw the terrible tunes today. When's Kenny back?
I think that's Kenny's burner, actually, though.
Yeah.
Oh, possibly.
Sorry, Ryan, but you didn't win the prize because I'm spiteful.
That's right.
I'm filling in for Kenny. I need
that's
a
the
little
bowl,
bit
you
of
get the
spite,
horns.
Right? Exactly.
There it is. Caden was our winner, in fact, for our trivia question. We had the 4-pack of tickets for the Hurricanes game coming up on April 10th, final home game of the season. Let's revisit the web poll question one more time before we're done, but still plenty to come. They're all fired up. It's Creature and Lee taking you through the drive coming up just past the top of the hour. Which player do you think will be a key contributor to the Sens next season? Went with four options. And before you complain that you like somebody else, you can only go with four. It limits us.
That's the question.
So if you want to do a write-in ballot, you can text us and whine
like
about it. That's
it was
okay.
Like the question yesterday about where the rink was going to be. Are you going to be, you know, good with it staying in Canada, or are you going to be disappointed with it not being in Canada? So, or LeBreton, whichever way you wanted to turn it around. But it was one or the other. There was no gray area. That's the question. That's what you have to answer.
So the four options are, will it be Ridly Gregg? Will it be Tyler Cleven, who had his first practice with his new team today after signing yesterday? Will it be Jacob Bernard-Docker, who continues to ply his trade in Belleville, where Levi Merilainen has joined the team? Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting to track as well for the B-Sens.
Yeah, they play tonight and tomorrow, I think. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a start in one of those games.
And, yeah. And Mads Søgaard, speaking of goaltenders, is the fourth option for the web poll question. Is it Gregg? Is it Cleven? Is it JBD? Is it Søgaard? And it's always the case, usually within a half hour of any web poll, it is what it is. We get more and more votes, but it rarely pivots from what we're seeing. Like election desk night, we can call these things rather early.
Yes.
This continues to be a two-horse race between Ridly Gregg and Mads Søgaard. So we'll go from the bottom up. 2.2% say it will be JBD. 11.9% say it will be Tyler Cleven. And in second place, with 42.4% of the vote, is Mads Søgaard. And in first place with 43.5% of the vote is Ridly Greig. So this has come down to Greig or Søgaard, and you and I voted for one of each. There, I went Søgaard, you went Greig. I could be talked into either, but I went Søgaard.
Yeah, same here. Same here. And I think the default position is usually to go with the goaltender because they can have such an impact on a team's fortunes. But I just think with there being the uncertainty if Søgaard might even be with the NHL team next year, and Greig with the experience that he's had and the potential for him to help out that bottom six with a little more offense, which is exactly what they need, I just think he's best positioned to be able to have the biggest impact next year.
Horn works. Oh, they've got the Zamboni out. Horn's working.
Oh, I see folks are going to be going for a skate.
Yeah, I see some kids on the bench. Looks like got a little bit of family fun still to come here this afternoon.
Nice.
Good stuff. All right, stick around. Take you out, little OLP. Of course we do. Thank you, Maddie. Always a pleasure. Enjoy your early Friday.
Happy weekend, boys. Oh, baby.
Good luck with the checkpoints.
That's right. Hopefully you get out of the...
escape downtown.
Yeah.
Maddie, out of the market now. Quickly. Godspeed, young man.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming up next, it's The Drive. It's Lee. It's Kreacher taking you through it. CJ, we're back to do it again on Monday.
Talk to you Monday. Look forward to it.
On when Gary Bettman's in town, some more ownership talk still to come on Monday. Coming up next, it's The Drive. Kenny's got 67s hockey tonight. Sens are at the Devils tomorrow night, all on TSN 1200.
I'm going to sign off here.
I want you to end it.
Wanted to let him know his fun's done.
Three words. What a team effort it was.
Sorry about that.
Thanks for having me.
What a finish.